Good morning. You know, every time I say that, I remind myself that it really is a beautiful morning. You know, for me, my favorite day of the week is Sunday. It's a day where I get to see all my students and all of you, and just a day to be reminded, again, of God's goodness and faithfulness. And I hope that's what today is about for all of you guys as well. You know, about a year ago, I had something happen to me that I never thought would happen to me. And it was something that I had dreaded, and most people that are in my situation would dread this. I was invited to speak at a youth conference. I believe it was in Atlanta, Georgia. And they had invited me up, and as part of getting to know your speaker kind of thing, they had asked me to do what was popular back then, which was the whip, that dance. And I don't know if you're laughing because you've seen me dance, but I remember being asked this question, and I honestly had no idea what they were talking about. And so to not look stupid and to kind of play it off, I just kind of pretended to go, you know, and all the students laughed, and they thought it was hilarious and all that. But I really had no idea what they were talking about. I went back into my room, and I Googled a whip, nay-nay, and I realized it was a dance. What was so life-changing for me at that point and at that moment was I had realized that what I had dreaded the most and what I do had just happened to me, which was that I was no longer culturally relevant, that I did not know the things that my students knew. And I think for some of you, that's not a big deal, but for one who's been doing this since 14 years old, and that was for the past 24 years, this is what I've done. And for the past 20 years, it was a paid ministry in that regard. And so I had really started young in ministry. And I thought that I was going to retire as one who works with students, only to realize on that day that I had no idea what they were talking about. And it was really difficult. So much of my identity is wrapped up in that because that's all I had done. And so for me, Friday nights for maybe some of the young adults, it's like, ooh, I can't wait to go out and stuff. Friday night for me is like, oh, 6:30 is going to be pizza. 7 o'clock starts our game time. And by 7:45, we're going to go into our message portion and all that. And that's how my mind works because this is what I've been doing for so long. You know, when I think of like when people say, oh, game night, for me, it always involves some sort of like marshmallows and vomiting and something where people get hurt. And it really goes to show this is what my life has been for so many years. And to think of doing my life in a different way for me was very scary in a lot of ways. That put me on a course of trying to figure out my calling. And to figure out what my calling would be in this next stage of life as God was bringing me out of something, and more than bringing me out of something, that he was inviting me into something new. And so it's been about a year that I've been kind of journeying through this. And the word picture that God gave me in last December, January, was this idea of pregnancy. Now, some of you laugh because I often have come up here talking about my marital status and all those things. But I know as men, we don't necessarily think of pregnancy because we don't necessarily have a biological clock. But I did find myself thinking about pregnancy quite a bit. And for me, it was life-changing as I began to think through the implications and all the ways in which God was conveying to me something about where I was going to go in life of this next calling in my life. And it was answered through Luke chapter 1. So today is a very special message for me, and it was a very customized message and an answer prayer to me that I want to share with all of you in that regard. With that, I make the difficult announcement for myself that come September, I will be stepping down as the next-gen pastor and pursuing this next calling on my life. And, you know, this family has really been that to me. It's been one where it's given me health. It's been one where I've absolutely loved it. You know, it's one where Auntie Loretta and Uncle Frank, they still give me lunch money, and I love it. She'll come up to me, and she'll grab my hand and put a little money in there and say, buy yourself some good to eat. It's a place where where I've fallen in love with adults and young adults and my youth as well. And it's been a very special place, a place where all of you guys have given me health, and Pastor Frank and the rest of the staff as well. But I also realized that God is calling me to something new. You know, when I was growing up and now, money always made sense to me, and building things and development and all those things. And I believe that's really what God had called me out here to do. As when I had come to Next Gen Ministry, there it was really lacking structure and there wasn't much there. In the past 3.5, going on 4 years, it was a place where God had allowed me to use my gifts and my talents. He's brought me into a new season as I've been a professor and work with high net worth and business consulting and all those things. This idea of business planting, and especially for millennials, where so many of them are about enterprise, and they want to change the world, but don't really know how, and how to really engage it from a biblical perspective. Where for us to creating a company where we plant a bunch of businesses, and creating businesses not just so that they have a little cross on the bottom or a Bible verse, but in 5 P's of their lives and of their company identity, their purpose, their product, their process, their people development, and how they define profit margin will reflect the kingdom of God. And so God has blessed me in my life with a number of high net worth, and he's just really been opening a lot of those doors. And so I am scared, excited, sad, all mixed together to really be pursuing God's calling. As he's called me into that arena. But I wanted to share with you today in terms of calling, because I think it's something that so many of us struggle with. It's something that regardless of where you are in your life stage, we are asking the deeper questions of calling, whether you are a young adult or, well, starting from college student, trying to figure out your major, because somehow you think your major is going to determine what your life is going to be. Or when you're a young adult feeling like, oh, how is this going to progress my career goal, and how is this going to help me to get to a place that I need to be to have kids and a home and all these cycles. You get to be about 40 and you look out the window and you realize, or you open your eyes from bed and you realize, today is the same old routine. Get up, grab my coffee. I drive a minivan. And for how so many of you men here, how it emasculates you to have to go into your Odyssey or your Sienna or your town and country and to really go through that. And so many people do ask about calling and their sense of purpose. And so today I wanted us to focus on that. And I wanted to invite you guys into my personal story and my narrative in hopes that that would bring some insights that God would speak through in helping you navigate through this period in your life. And so if you would open up your Bibles, if not, it'll be shown up here, to Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Again, that's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And this is the word of the Lord. In the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. If you would join me in a quick word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for today. And Lord God, it is for me, it is with a heavy heart, but also a heart of excitement to be able to share this message. Lord God, I do ask that as I share your word today, that it would really be yours. that my story would merely be the vehicle, but yet it would be you who receives all the glory, that it would shine and it would point people to you as our loving God and Savior. So, Lord, I do ask today that you would meet people in the way that they need to be met as they ask the larger questions of life as it pertains to calling. So we thank you, and in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, for the past couple of weeks, I know that for the adults, you guys have been going through the series of How Do You Know? And having heard all the pastors come up and speak, knowing what you know now about God, the question is, how are you going to live it out? It's not just meant to be informational, but it's meant to be transformational, that it will somehow play itself out in the practical application of your everyday life. You know, in our society, people are really asking the questions of purpose and calling, and that's become the big buzzword nowadays. And people are publishing books, and they're really searching for any answer to help them answer this question of calling in their lives. And why is this such an important question? Because all of us want to be at a place where we could feel a sense of purpose, that there's something far bigger than what is going on here in this world. Looking and hearing all the things on news, wondering, for what? There's got to be a greater purpose. That you're at work and you're putting in your 40 hours and thinking, what is this all about? That you're in class, you're studying, and you're saying, why do I need to be here? And maybe in your marriage and as you're raising kids, thinking, why do I need to put up with all of this? And I think we ask these questions time and time again. And I want to start out by giving you a definition of calling. And for those of you that are taking notes, here's a simple definition. Calling being defined as God's plan and vision for us individually to take part in his great work of the kingdom. Again, it's God's plan and vision for us individually to take part in his great work of the kingdom. As a professor, I know that there's always one person in class who always raises their hand and says, Professor, can you repeat that definition again? So I will graciously read it again. Definition of a calling is God's plan and vision for us individually to take part in his great work of the kingdom. You know, I think so many of us as Christians, that we try to go about our calling, try to figure it out, and perhaps in three different ways. One is the supernatural way that we're looking for. And this is the thing where, like, you're praying, and you're praying these very charismatic prayers, right? And not that there's anything bad about charismatic, but you're looking for answers everywhere. So you go, and you're driving, and you're thinking about it, and all of a sudden you see a stop sign, and you're like, oh, God, is that you? Are you telling me to stop? Are you telling me not to do this? And so maybe that's a more clear sign. But then you get to a traffic light, and it's orange, and you're thinking, I don't know what this is. I remember when I was in college, I had liked this girl, and a really smart girl, and she went to MIT and all that, and she was coming off the bus, and she was coming down, and I had gone there early and stuff, and that morning, I'd really liked her, and I'd been praying for her, and so I took this approach, and I said, God, if you want me to ask her out, then have her wear the same suit that I would be wearing that day, which is a tan suit, and I knew she had one. And so I wore my suit, and I went, and I sat down where I could get a good visual on her. And I knew her bus was coming, and there's these loads of students that are coming off the bus, and I was super excited because I knew that I would get my answer. And so all my guy friends are talking. I have no idea what they were talking about because that's not important. It's all about, you know, marriage and relationship and all that. So they're talking and on, just nodding my head. And these women, they're coming. And I see her head, and that's all I see. You know, her head is kind of like floating and bobbing and coming down. And I'm getting super excited because I'm like, oh, I wonder what she's wearing. And it was all of a sudden as if the Red Sea had taken place right there up in Boston. And as I was sitting there, the crowd had parted, and I could see her outfit. But I was so confused. She only wore the pant portion of her suit, and I thought, I don't get it. So what does that mean, God? Like, does that mean, like, you could ask her out if you want? God, I thought you were a God who knows the number of hairs on my head, but what is going on? Stop giving me these mixed signals. So I remember being like, nah, I'm not going to ask her out, you know, because it wasn't the answer that I had been looking for. I wanted something that was clearly definitive, and I was quite disappointed. I think the other approach that we take is a super pious approach, which is we are going to pray until God answers our prayer. We're going to go into our prayer closet, and now that it's been made popularized by that movie War Room, we've created one in our room, and we are locked in there. Our parents are knocking on the door like, hey, are you ever going to come out? We made your favorite food, and like, what's going on? You know, what are you doing in there? You know, and parents are always thinking something bad. Are you in there doing drugs and stuff? And, you know, all the time you're like, no, Mom, I am communing with God. I am seeking God's face. And I think a lot of times we take this approach and we just sit there praying and praying and praying. But what happens? More often than not, we end up being disappointed with that as well. And I'm just being honest, as a pastor, my prayers to God aren't somehow more holy. I get invited to pray for meals at these outings and birthdays and stuff, and I'm like, my prayers aren't that special. Your kids aren't going to get into Harvard just because I pray for them. They're not going to grow. They're not going to have long life. I'm sorry to tell you, but I don't have that kind of power. And I think the last thing is we take the super rational approach, which is we just think about it, and we say, okay, God, you've done that. But we think God is a God who's not one who's in the details of our lives. And so God creates the world, and then from there, he's just kind of hands off. And we got to figure it out on our own. But that becomes super tiring as well. And it becomes one where we are exhausted from doing it in that way. You know, for me, I want to present a better way today, which is that it's not that we're called to be active, nor are we called to be passive, but we are called to be interactive with God in pursuing our calling. And really, the imagery here that God had given me is that of pregnancy. And so I want to use a lot of the imagery that comes along with being pregnant. And so half of you will understand, and the other half will have no idea because, you know, you weren't in the room during pregnancy. And like, you know, one day your baby's just ended up being 18. And so that's for the men that are here. But I want to walk you through this understanding of pregnancy because I think it really tells us a lot in how we're to pursue our calling in our lives. The first thing that we're going to realize is that calling is always, always, always about the caller. And I think a lot of times we have a misunderstanding of this, which is, God, I am praying to you so you could give me a calling so I could do that, so I could have a sure thing in life. We use God so that we could get to the calling in our lives. For those of you that are saying, well, no, I've never done that, or I'm not prone to do that, or that's not the way that I work, well, let me follow it up and ask you this question. Then, how many of you here have been disappointed when God did not answer you, or when he did not answer you in the way that you wanted him to answer you? Yes. Heads go down. I didn't even say, let's pray. But I know that's out of guilt that all of you pray in that way, because I prayed those prayers as well. God, make this happen. Or God, you know, and it starts out really good, like, God, you're a holy God. You know, I want to do your will. I want to serve your kingdom here on earth and stuff. And let me get this and that. And when it doesn't happen, I'm sorely disappointed. Because it's not the caller that I'm after, but it's the calling that I want God to do. And for so many of us, this is the way that we approach. And I think when we look at the verse 26 on here, we really see that when the angel of the Lord had appeared to Mary, it was not so much about, absolutely, it's about the birthing of Jesus, but that interaction is about Mary and how she is connected with God in that personal way. And God is always after us first. God isn't up there simply as a CEO or as one who's just saying, hey, I need some workers, or as a general in an army. He's not just saying, hey, I need some people to join me. But instead, he is after us. And in that, that's what he wants, that greater intimacy in that way. You know, when we think about the pregnancy paradigm, we realize that babies are not the ultimate goals in our marriage. Let's really think about that. Babies are not the ultimate goal in a marriage. Babies are merely a byproduct of you and your spouse being in a loving relationship, and it's a manifestation, it's a product of you loving each other in that way, is it not? Absolutely. There's no greater expression of your love for each other than seeing your baby, because you know how babies come from. There are no Sunday schoolers, right? Yeah. Okay, in Sunday school, you learn that a little stork comes and drops you off in front of your door. Nowadays, they would call like child and family services if that happened. But somehow, back in the day, they didn't have these departments, and so that's what we're told. But no, the beauty of a man and a woman coming together in marriage and that beautiful union, and the fact that they are able to create this baby that comes out, part mom, part dad. I don't know of any beautiful manifestation and symbol of something greater and love in that way. And as the baby comes out, we know that it is one that really reflects the union between the two. The baby is part mom and it's part dad. And so as we understand calling, it is always supposed to drive us to a far deeper understanding of who our caller is. When we look in this passage, we see that this interaction in verse 26, it begins by saying this, angel of the Lord appeared to him, whose name and virgin, and he came to her, greeting, O favored one. The Lord is with you. It wasn't just here and now that Mary began to be in a relationship with the Lord, but it was far more, that it was in her lifetime that she had walked consistently with the Lord, that God knew her by name, that God considered her the favored one. And so for us, when we look at calling, it always, always, always starts with a calling to the caller. A calling that precedes all other calling is a calling into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I cannot emphasize that enough. If we have it flipped around, then we are merely using God to get to our calling versus using our calling to get to our caller, which is God himself. As we go on in this passage, the second point that we'll see in here is that calling is always a process. And I think so many of us here want this calling to be right here and now, but it really is a process and it takes time for it to mature and to develop in that way. As we look here, Mary just didn't start with the baby just coming out and saying, hey, you know, we're going to have a miracle, and so I'm going to give you a baby, and you're going to have Jesus right here, right now. But it goes through the natural formation of a baby and the trimesters in that way. And the beauty of this is that with time, that God begins to work in our lives. That in it, not only do we meet God, but we also meet ourselves. And so many of us here do not know ourselves. And that was my story as well. When I was born, I was told that I was going to be a pastor, and so my life was set on a certain trajectory. That ministry was defined in a very specific way. I had pastors and pastors' wives coming up to me from third grade on, telling me what the perfect pastor's wife should be like. She should play piano, she should be quiet, she should be all these, she should know how to cook, and she should know how to do all these things. It's no wonder I am not married. It's not my fault. It's all those pastors' wives and pastors who had told me of a standard that cannot be met by anyone, except for Cinda and for Mary Beth and for PJ. Oh, that was close. Okay. But it's in this process that we found after the angel of the Lord says, you, the favored one, the Lord is with thee. You have found favor. And again, this pregnancy being broken down into this trimester. A baby, when it goes to its trimester, begins with a zygote, and it's a number of cells that are beginning to form. And with time, it begins to take shape, where after 9 months, you finally have this baby come about in that way. And we see this so clearly here when we see in verse 29, it says this. In verse 29, says, it talks about how Mary was greatly troubled, and in verse 30, it says, the angel of the Lord says, do not be afraid. In verse 34, we find something where Mary says to the angel, but how will this be since I am a virgin? She's completely perplexed by that. The reason why I love this question is that there is a communication, there's an interaction between Mary and the angel of the Lord. And in this interaction, Mary is growing. In this interaction, you see Mary, her maturity growing and her faith growing in that way. I think too many times we take a very passive approach where God says, just do and be, and we say, okay. But we don't allow for the dialogue which God wants so much to have with each and every one of us. As it goes on here, it says this. In verse 35, the angel of the Lord answers and says, the Holy Spirit will be with you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Not only does he give the assurance that the Holy Spirit will be with her, but in verse 36, it goes on even more and says, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren." Why that is so important for so many of us as we see this is this. And in verse 37, it says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." As Mary has gone through this process of communicating with the angel of the Lord and having her doubts answered and her faith grown in that way, why that is so important is that she sees and she witnesses in community the importance and the miracles of God, and how God manifests himself in that way. You know, I think so many times we look for callings in our lives, and we look for callings in our bedrooms on the internet. We Google and we take these quizzes. We take personality quizzes. What are you, an otter or golden retriever or whatever, ENFG, ENTJ, you know, your strengths finder and all these things. And we try to find all these callings in our lives without pursuing the caller and afterwards without it being a process. Every time the new reality show, So You Think You Could Dance, comes on, I think I could be a dancer. Because in my room and in the reflection, I am an amazing dancer. But I'm really not. If you've ever seen William Hong in saying She Bangs, right? That's like me in singing and dancing. You know, part of the reason why when we have worship and I don't clap and sing at the same time is because it throws me off. I can't keep beat, and so I can't sing and clap at the same time. I know some of you think I'm spiritual because I'm not, you know, and sometimes I'll kind of fake it and, you know, extend my hand, but it's because I have no rhythm. The reason why it's so important for us to understand this is and process is this. So many times we don't have a right view of ourselves. Depending on what we're watching, depending on what we're doing, we think, oh, maybe we're this and that. This is why community is so important. And maybe you do have a right view of yourself, and community is important because your community encourages you. They are a canvas upon which you see God working out his amazing plan in their lives. And as you see this beautiful narrative unfolding in their lives, it encourages you to keep going. We're encouraged, the new definition for me that I've come to fully embrace. It's not merely about flattery. It's not merely about saying good things about the other person. But it is helping the other find, it's helping others find the courage to live out their God-given calling. It has nothing to do with how my outfit looks. It has nothing to do with how my hair looks today. But it's helping people find the courage to live out their God-given calling in their lives. You know, as it pertains to this idea of pregnancy, it really, it takes time. And maybe some of you, some of us are so focused on the product that we forget about the process. But it's in the process that you learn and develop and grow. You know, I've heard so many new moms say, you know, when they first start, they read all these books and they're so excited and they're like, oh, I'm going to be a great mom. And as the months come closer, they're like, oh my goodness, I have no idea. And then when the baby comes, all those books are wrong, because my baby doesn't do that and doesn't do that. It's probably written by single male doctors. Just kidding. But it really is a process in terms of how that goes about. Now, some of you may think that, okay, well, I followed God's calling in my life before, and it's led to something that was disappointing. Think of it in terms of marriage, or in terms of pregnancy. I've had so many friends who've had miscarriages or stillborns. And I say this with utmost sensitivity to maybe some of you who've had that as well. But upon these miscarriages and stillborns, they are still able to praise God and see the purpose behind that. It is not a mistake upon which that they've had a miscarriage or stillborn, but through it that God had worked to bring about greater purpose and plan in their lives. And that was my mom's story. Out of prayer, I came about as she had struggled to have a baby, which became me. If we're one who are process-oriented versus product-oriented, then I think it really gives us a different engagement of this idea of calling upon our lives, that we see the beauty of the unfolding of this. You know, in a pregnancy, you can't control much. You can't control what this baby's going to look like. You can't control how tall this baby's going to be. You can't control his athletic or his academic ability. If you did, I would be out of a job. And students wouldn't be so stressed about my parents are writing me about academics or athletics or whatever it may be. All we're called to do is be faithful. Take our vitamins. Do whatever Lamaze classes or eat right and get enough rest, drink a lot of water and all these things. And God takes care of the rest. The same for us as we pursue our calling in our lives. Lastly, when we look at this, calling is always profitable. And as we pursue God, who is our caller, and as we approach it in the process in which he's calling us, it is always profitable. As we see in verse 38, it says this, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" Perhaps you confuse the calling as one where it should be a certain job or it should be a certain spouse or it should be a whatever it may be. But calling as defined in the Christian context is for us first and foremost to grow in a deeper intimacy with God. Where we see Mary's fear, where she was afraid, but now having encountered God in this way, where her faith has grown tremendously, and that becomes a prophet. Not only does that become the prophet as we go on and it sees here, in verses 46 on, it says this, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name.'" For her to make the statement of "do as you will with your servant," she took into account the cost that it would have cost her, the scandal of being a virgin and yet having a baby, the gossip that potentially would arise, and all these difficulties that she would see and experience in her life, and throughout her whole life, raising the son as the Messiah, and hearing maybe others doubt her in that way. And it wasn't until the resurrection, because even the death didn't validate the fact that he was the Messiah, right? But it was only in his resurrection that she went through all of that, and finally, the vindication of one who was faithful to the calling upon her life, counting all the costs that it would have cost her. Pursuing our calling is not an easy calling by any stretch of the imagination, and yet it is what God calls us to do. When we look here, when we look at the life of Jesus, it is one where he lived a life of perfect calling and followed and pursued that in the most perfect way. You know, I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, why would Jesus have to have lived approximately 33 years here on earth? It was merely about death and resurrection. He could have done that as a baby and skipped going through everything and all the hardships in his life. No, because it wasn't about that at all. It was all about, as Luke 22:44 says, "Then he said to him, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" He didn't live his life according to his desires and his plan, but he lived in an absolute accord and obedience to God the Father, who had called him to do this upon his life. That there was that intimacy of relationship with the caller, that there was this process that he went, right? And Luke, it says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and gaining favor with God and man. That he grew in wisdom and in stature. And it was a process. But what is a prophet? That all creation would be saved through him in that way. You know, I want to say something that may be a little shocking, but for me, it really was one that really blessed me in a lot of way. And this rich imagery of a pregnancy one was one that really helped me to experience God in a greater way. And so I want to share it with the utmost sensitivity to all of you here. But in the midst of God calling me to a new chapter in my life, there was tremendous fear. This is something that I know, and this is something that I know well, and this is something that I absolutely love. And yet I find myself saying, you know what? God, I don't know if I want to do that. there was a part of me that wanted to abort this calling that God had planted in me. My sister, she'd been married for a number of years, and she wasn't able to have a baby, and she was finally able to have a, adopt a baby. And a beautiful boy, his name is Lincoln. They went camping a couple of days ago, and she said, "Hey, Lincoln, who do you want to go camping with next?" And he always says, "Me. I'm his favorite uncle." Albeit I'm his only uncle. But hey, I'll take it anyway. I could get it. But I thought, what if someone had aborted Lincoln because whatever reason, how my life would have been so drastically different? What if Mary had aborted Jesus and how that would have changed all of history? You know, it takes tremendous courage for us to live out our callings upon our lives, and we cannot do it alone. It has to come with a relationship with our caller, and out of that, that he will take us through the process, and it will be profitable in ways that we cannot imagine. You know, we are a product because someone said yes to God. You know, when we say no to God, it deprives us in living out the calling upon our lives and how God has specifically and uniquely gifted us in that way. But not only does it rob us, more importantly, it robs other people as well. When we look at the state of our society, I wonder, why is our world the way that it is? And I believe it's because too many of us have not lived out the calling upon our lives. But most importantly, it robs God of that intimate relationship with us in that way. I hope here, as all of you are thinking about your calling upon your lives, that you would really allow the caller to enter into your life, that you would desire intimacy, and out of that, that God would awaken you to a process where you would know yourself better in him, and out of it, that you would reap the tremendous blessings and fruits that comes about by us living out our calling in that way. What will you do as you walk out through these doors? How is the word of God and the story of Mary, the story of Jesus, and perhaps even my story and other story here as well? We're all a byproduct of someone having said yes to God upon calling them to do something. And I pray for all of us here that we would have the courage, that we would be a community that encourages others in helping others find their courage to live out their God-given calling so that we could love the hell out of this world, so that we could put Jesus and heaven in their hearts in that end. You know, Pastor Frank and myself, as I am making my transition, we had put together a video. And we wanted to put together a message video for three reasons. One, for all of you guys here, because we know that when a leader leaves, there's always talk where people are like, I know why he really left. It wasn't because of what he said. He says he's, you know, whatever. But I wanted you guys to kind of see us interacting and for us to really speak from our heart about each other. Two, we wanted to make sure that that we put this out to find the right next gen pastor in our life or for this church, and to have one who would really love on the students and to take the youth ministry and the next gen ministry to the next level. And third, we want to be a challenge to the body of Christ of seeking health in this way. For me, 3.5 years ago, I came here because I said yes to what God had called me in my life. And out of it, it has changed my life. It has allowed me to resurrect my spiritual health through these pastors here who have absolutely loved on me, to a body of believers here who've given me lunch money, who've encouraged me, who've fed me, who've not clothed me, but who've done all these things in ways to encourage me to have the courage for me to find my calling. And so I want to invite you into that journey. I love where I'm at now. I am so grateful beyond words for what this church has done for me. And it's merely a product. When I didn't know all the details, but I know God was calling and leading. And in faith, as Mary said, God, deal with me. Do with your servant as you wish. As I go on to my next chapter in my life, it is that as well. I don't know all the details, but I do know that God is calling, and to that I want to say yes. That others would be blessed through it, that I would grow, but ultimately that I would come to a far deeper understanding of Jesus in that way. So if we could cue up the video.
Hey, I'm Pastor Frank. I'm the senior pastor here at Woodbridge Community Church.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, and I am the next-gen pastor here where I oversee youth through young adults.
4 years ago, God brought Danny to us, and he's been an absolute blessing to this church. Being our next-gen pastor, absolutely creating an amazing youth program, junior high, high school, college. He's been a huge blessing even within our young adults. Creating things within the whole body of the church, helping us as a family camps and just ideating ideas for the whole body has been an absolute blessing and such an amazing individual to work with.
And I really appreciate that, Pastor Frank. You know, for myself, so much of what you said really captures my relationship with you and who you are. In my time here, you've never asked me how my ministry has been going, but you've always asked how I've been doing, and that really captures who you are. You know, I loved our lunches and our golf trips and all those things, and for you, really pouring into my life in that way. And so thank you so much. And you've been a tremendous blessing in that way.
After so many years, people at times just find it's time to move on. And with Danny, he's been sensing a new calling of God, moving into his life, moving into the future. And so now we're in the process of trying to find someone to take and build upon what our brother has built here at Woodbridge, and taking that to the next level. We have a healthy, vibrant program. And who is going to be the person that God's going to send us that's going to take that into the future?
Yeah, and I really want to hand off well to the next person coming in and to really build on the shoulder in terms of my time here. And so we're looking for someone who will really pour into our students in areas of discipleship and outreach and missions, and to really live out our calling, our motto, which is to love the hell out of our students, literally, so we could put heaven in their hearts. So, Pastor Frank, thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege of serving here, and I always say you'll always be my senior pastor.
It works both ways, Danny. It's been an absolute joy to be serving Jesus alongside you, and it always works that when God brought you here, you were a blessing to us, and our church has been a blessing to you. And hey, for you out there that's being called by God to make disciples of the next generation, maybe Woodbridge is where God might be calling you. We are looking for God's person for the future. Maybe you're that person. We'd love to meet you.
And it's a great place to serve.
It is indeed. It's awesome, church.
Is that cool or what? Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, as an old youth pastor, I'm speaking now to a kind of an old youth pastor too, I guess. I remember it was because I couldn't eat Taco Bell anymore, man. I couldn't do this fast food. That was a long time ago. Have you noticed there's not like 70-year-old youth pastors around? That there's always that time of transition. And it was so cool. As I was talking with Danny, and he's trying to sense, God, what are you doing with me? And right around Christmas time, he just felt God speaking to him. And as we're all in the days and there's that, Mary's calling. God just gave a birthing of her calling in her life to raise the Messiah. And he was just so rolling with this. And when he was coming to me and saying, hey, Pastor Frank, this is the things where I'm heading, and I feel God leading me. I'm like, praise the Lord, you hold life like this. Ask Madrin. You hold life like this. You can't hold on to things. You just roll, and you walk with God. The purpose of this church is to help people to meet Jesus. To what? To know Jesus, and to what? To follow. When we follow Christ, we follow him in calling. A part of following Jesus is a calling, an individual calling in all of our lives. In a few weeks, you're going to hear police officers saying, this is my calling. I'm called to be an instrument of justice and righteousness in this city. That's their God-given calling. Or a doctor, or a nurse, or a firefighter. I'm an instrument of mercy. We all have callings in our life. They're individual. And with our brother Danny, he's got some really cool things that he's planning. So we're going to work together trying to find who is God calling here next. And by the way, right afterwards in the Next Gen Chapel, there's a parent meeting. And anybody can come, and we'll talk more in detail about the plans and where we're heading and going and trying to find God's next person to come here and make disciples, the next generation. Danny's going to be around up through into the fall, and we're going to work together in doing that. So that's going to be cool. We need you to be praying for us, and it'll be cool. So would you all stand as a church? You know, the Bible says, I like this, when we hit heaven, you know, I like it when Jesus says, well done, a good and faithful servant. As a youth pastor, I always say I got demoted when I became a senior pastor. I love doing youth ministry, and Danny has been doing a great job. And can we, as a church, just stand and before Almighty God and say, Lord, thank you for bringing Danny to us. And Lord, we pray your blessing upon our brother. We pray your blessing upon this transition. And we pray, God, that you, whoever you have next, to lead a new shepherd to us, right? To shepherd the next generation of disciples of Jesus. And for us, you know, always be looking fresh at God's callings in our lives as men and women, as husbands and fathers, as businessmen, and whatever it is that God's called you to do. And yet we're always doing more, right? Our identity is not what we do. Our identity is who we are first. And then it's a byproduct in how we live our lives. Would you extend a hand? And we're going to lay hands on our brother Danny. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our brother. We thank you, Lord, for the man that you've made him to be. We thank you, God, for his mother and his father. The people that you place in his life is in an early age. To just pour into him, God, your voice. And Lord, for many years, this man has been serving you in many different ways. And we celebrate, God, for the way that you have brought him here, the way you have used him, God, to make disciples of Christ. We as a church declare he's a good man. We thank you, God, for him. We praise you, Lord, how you have used him. We ask as a church, God, that you would bless him. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak into his life. For Lord Jesus, you said that my sheep will hear my voice. And they will follow me. God, Danny seeks your voice, and I just trust, God, you're speaking into him at this strategic time in his life and within this church. Lord, we trust you in all things. We trust you in all things. We praise you, God, for your goodness in our lives. We ask, Lord, now that you would just give us all peace, give us a vision of the future. We pray, Lord God, that you would bring and lead and guide. Lord, we might plan our ways. We ask that you would direct our steps. Thank you, God, for this time. And we as a church, thank you for our brother Danny, Pastor Danny. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Can we hear a well done and good job, Danny? Yep, he's around, he's going to be around, it's going to work. We're going to end this service with a great song, and it's the song called Oceans. And if you know about this song, Oceans was, it's kind of written through the eyes of Peter, walking on the water and trusting in God. And so as we end our service, here's a song. It was so cool. You know what, I was just watching this song this morning. If you really want to be blessed, type in Dirt and Grace on YouTube, and you can watch the lady singing this song on the Sea of Galilee early in the morning as the sun's coming up over the Golden Heights. This song is about Peter just saying, I'm going to trust in the Lord, and as he's even starting to walk on the water, he's got his eyes fixed on Jesus. So wherever you are, and whatever it is that you're doing, God sees you. God's calling you. He knows you, people. He knows you by name. He created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And whatever it is that God's calling you to, we just trust in him. And if he's going to call you to walk on water, if Jesus calls you to walk on water, what should your answer be? Yes. But you got to keep your eyes on him, because if you don't, ask Peter what happens. This is a great song called oceans. Be blessed.